We're on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis in the middle of the Amud. Omar Rabba Omar Rav Sheshes. We had a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as to whether or not the Eved Knani can be Yotzi L'Cheris by paying out of his own pocket with his own kesef. Rabbi Meir said he cannot, and that's because he has no yad to have kesef. And the Chacham say he can. The Gemara explains that Machlokes, Omar Abba, Omar Rav Sheshes, the Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, including the Chachamim, Ein Kinyan Li'Eved B'lo Rabo, V'Ein Kinyan Li'Isha B'lo Baila. Even if others transfer ownership on an object of value or on Kesef to the Eved, nevertheless, the Adon automatically is Kona, because Kol Mashe Kona Eved Kona Rabo. But Hochamai Eskinon, the Machlokas Trin Rabbi Meir and the Chacham is the case, the Achnile Acher Mona V'Yomerle Al Menas She'ein L'Rabcha Reshuspo, that so-and-so gave money to the hands of the Eved with a Tanai. I'm willing to give you this mana on the condition that your Adon will have no reshus over the money. Rabbi Meir Sovaki Omale Kni, the very moment that this Ploni says, Kni, take it and it's yours, Kani Eved, and automatically Kani Rabo, because the halacha is that whatever is Bal Yad HaEved is automatically Zochabo Rabo, V'chi Omale, and if afterwards he adds the Tanai Almanas that the Rav should have no zchus in the moment, lo klum ka'amalei, it's meaningless, because he cannot make a Tanai on something that already belongs to the Adon. In other words, the Adon already made a kinyan on the mana, and now that the Machden wants to add a Tanai, he cannot do so. Basically, according to Rabbi Meir, it's impossible that the Eved can have Mammon acquire ownership over money that doesn't belong, that completely cuts out the Adon. Rabbanan Savri, on the other hand, Kevan di Omerle Almanas, the giving of this money was with a Tanai, Ani Le Tanai. The Tanai is meaningful, it's effective. And therefore, the Eved is Koneh, the kesef, the mana, and now he can use that to be meshachar himself by giving it to the adon. Is then it comes out that according to the Rabbanon, Eved Knani is yotze v'kesef al yidei atzmo. Rabbi Elazar, he has a different take on the machlokes, very similar but slightly different. Kolki hagavna kuli amalo pligi dekani eved v'kani rabba. If he's marked the money to the Eved, and then he adds a Tanai that the Rav should have no chelik in it, even the Chacham agree that the Tanai is not meaningful, and the money accrues to the Adon. Hakamai Eskin, in the case that they argue about, is Kigon, the Akni Le Acher Mona V'Yomar Le, when the Ploni Almoni gives the money into the hands of the Eved, and he transfers over, he says, Almanas Shetetze Bo L'Cherus, meaning, I'm not transferring this money from my rishus to your rishus, says this Acher. But rather, I'm giving you this money for the purpose of Yitzil Acherus. Rabbi Meir Savar ki Omer Leknei, the very moment he says, take the money, is Kani Eved v'Kani Rabo. V'chi Omer Le Almanas, Lav Klum Komer. Again, Rabbi Meir applies the same consistent logic that once we get through the halfway measure and he's makne him the money automatically accrues to the Adon, and there's no way that the makne could add any tanai. Rabbanan Savri, but here in this case it's different. L'didei nami holoka makne le. The Eved himself never really possesses the money. The holo omar le, he didn't say to him, kneya samana liatzmacha, for the purpose of going out l'cheirus. Ella, what he said to him was, Almanasha teitzibo l'cheirus, which means that the Eved doesn't have a kinyan in this mana to do with it what he pleases. Rather, that mana is only his in order to achieve the Yetzia l'cheirus. The Adon never was able to be zoche the money because basically the Eved wasn't really zoche in a full sense. He was only zoche for the purpose of being motzias atzmo l'cheirus. The Gemara now presents a stira from a brisa in which Rabbi Meir contradicts himself and Rabbanon contradict themselves, meaning there's a switch of shitos. V'rami, the Gemara postulates a contradiction. The Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir, Rami the Rabbanon ad Rabbanon, disanya. We learned in a brisa, and here we're turning to Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Ein Isha Poda Maser Sheni Below Chomesh. The halacha is that if a person has Maser Sheni and he wants to redeem it, and he transfers the Kedusha from the Peros onto the money, he's got to add 1/5 of its value. Now, in the case of a married woman, if she is being poda the peros of Maaser Sheni of her husband, then she too has to add a chomesh. She has this mitzvah of adding a chomesh no less than her husband does. So at the moment that she's poda the Maaser Sheni, her din is the same as the Baal. She has to be motzi another extra chomesh in order to achieve the mitzvah of pidyon. That's according to Tanna Kamma. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Isha Poda Maaser Sheni below Chomesh. In the case where she's being poda the Maaser Sheni, it's not her own Maaser, it belongs to him. The din of adding a Chomesh is suspended because that only applies when the Baal HaPeros is being poda his own Maaser. But here, the Baal Peres is not being poda the Maaser, but she, his wife, is being poda on his behalf. In such a case, she doesn't have to add the Chomesh. Now the Gemara analyzes what the case is. Hechi domi. Ilem v'zuzi de Baal u'maisa de Baal. If it is not only the Peros of the Baal, but it's also the Zuzi of the Baal, she's just doing a Maisa pidyon, ishlichuse de Baal ka'avda. She's nothing more than an agent, the long arm of her husband to implement the Maisa Pidyon. Rabbi Meir, therefore, doesn't make any sense when he exempts her from adding a Chomesh. It's, in effect, it really is the Baal who's being poda himself from his own Peros. The El, it has to be a case to make some sense that a Rabbi Meir, Bezuzi Dida, is her money, Umaisa Dida, but he owns the Peros. The Gemara says, in such a case, I have a difficult question here, because the Pasuk says, Ish. Let's read the Pasuk. It says, Im ga'ol yig'al ish mi masro. And Chazal interpret Ish v'lo Isha, that she doesn't have to add a Chomesh when she's poda the Maaser Sheni of her husband. Again, this is because she's using her own mos. And this is equivalent to the case of Reuven, who's being poda the Maaser of Shimon. In such a case, when Reuven offers his own money to be poda the Maaser of Shimon, Reuven doesn't have to add a Chomesh. So then, we now have a cash on the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma here in this brisa says that an Ish has to add a Chomesh for Pidyon Maaser. So again, if it's a case where she's just a Shliach, and both the Peros and the Mos belong to the Baal, then we don't understand why Rabbi Meir says that she doesn't have to add a Chomesh. If on the other hand it's a case where she's using her own money, then to be poda to the Peros of her husband, then there's an explicit miut that tells you in the parash of Chomesh that she does not have to pay the Chomesh. So why do the Chachamim insist that she has to add a Chomesh? El alav ki hai gavna. By process of elimination, we're left with the following scenario. The Akni La Acher Mana, the Omar La Almanasha Tifti Boas Amaser, so and so was Makna Har Amana for the express purpose of Pidyon Maaser. Here's where the Machlokas Tanakama and Rav Meir sets in. Is such a Tanai effective that now the Baal does not have a kinyan on the mana, and rather she's being pulled to the Meiser of her husband with her own money? And the Ibcha Shamanalahu. Now it comes out that the Svaros of Rav Meir and the Chachamim are the exact opposite of what we saw in the case of Eved Kenani. Here, with regard to an Isha being pulled to Meiser Sheni, and she received this money from someone, Almanas Shetifti Bos Hamaser, the Tanakhama is telling us that such a Tanai is meaningless. The Baal is Kona the Mana, and therefore she has to add a Chomesh. Whereas Rabbi Meir is offering the other possibility, namely that the Tanai is meaningful, it's effective, and basically the Makna who gave the Mana to the Isha was able to cut out the Baal, and therefore she's being poed to the most with her own money. She doesn't have to be Mosif Chomesh. The Tanakhama holds that since the Tanai is not meaningful, the Baal is Kona the Mana, and it's as if he's being poed his own Masa with his own money, and he requires a Chomesh. And that's the Tanakhama who says, Ein Isha poed the Masa Shady below Chomesh. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, exempts her from Chomesh because the Tanai is meaningful. The money never enters into the Rishus of the Baal. It comes out then that this is the exact opposite in terms of who holds what here, the Machlokes Rabbi Meir Chachamim, from the Sugya that we had in the Hezber of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, the Machlokes, in the case where somebody gave a mana to an Eved Almanash Sheyetzibo Lecherus. There Rabbi Meir said that the Tanai is meaningless. And the Chachamim were the ones who recognized the Tanai. And that's why the Chacham had a possibility that an Eved Kenani could be pulled himself. He has money, he owns money here. The Chachamim insist that she has to pay Chomesh, even though someone was Makna her Almanas Shetifta Bo Esamaser. Omar Abai Epoch. Abai says, Enochinami. This is a direct contradiction. We have no option but to switch around the names of the Brisa, who holds what. And just like Rav Meir said in the case of Eved, that he does not have a yad to be koned anything, despite the fact they gave him with a Tanai, Sheyetze Becherus. Here too, the Isha is not capable of having her own yad to be koned the mana, even though it was given to her Almanas Shetiftibos Amaser. Whereas the Chachamim recognize the Tanai, just as they recognize the Tanai in the case of the Eved Ivri, the Eved Kenani, such that the Eved Kenani has money, which is totally in his possession, he could use it to be poed himself, and be Yotzi Lecheiros, so too, in the case of an Isha, she can receive this money, and exclude the Baal from any Kinyan. And then we have the halacha of Isha, Marachman of Lo Isha, and therefore she doesn't have to add a Chomesh. So we just switched around the Shitas of Rav Meir, the Chacham, and the Braisa. Rav Amar Liolam Lo Tepoch, there's no need to switch it around. You just have to understand the case of the Braisa. What is the case of the Braisa? Hacha, b'maaseh di'asam ibei noshas kinan. We're talking about a woman who inherits maser from her father. Anything a woman inherits, and she's a married woman, accrues to the husband, but only as far as the peros. The keren itself is hers. That's called nichsei mulug. Rabbi Meir l'tamei, Rabbi Meir, who in this case exempts her from chovesh, is very consistent. The Omar, he's of the opinion of my sasheni is momon, Hegdeshu, it doesn't belong to the owner of the peros, Velokoni Le Baal, and just like she cannot make a kinyan, in terms of the guf haperos, so too the Baal cannot make any kinyan on the peros, you know, it's nixay mulug, and therefore it is, Hegdesh is different than any other Yerusha that accrues to her, because if she's an heir to inherit money or possessions, those all transfer to some extent to the Baal through the principle of Nichsei Mulug. But here, since Maaseh Sheni is Mamon Gavoah, the Baal cannot acquire any ownership on it, and therefore the Mos that are used for the pigeon are not being used for a pigeon of the Baal's Peros, and therefore there's no need to add a Chomesh. On the other hand, Rabbanon, L'tamayu, they also are being consistent. The Amri, there are the pin Maaseh Sheni Mamon Hejot. There's private ownership over the Maaseh Sheni, and it belongs to the Baalim. And therefore, when, let's say, her father died, and he left in Yerusha the Maaser, the Kani lay Baal, since she can be Kona, the Maaseh Sheni, it's Mamon Hejot, automatically to cruise to the Baal, like any Nichsin Malug that she inherits, Hilkach, Shlichusa, Debalkov, that she's really being Mafresh Maser as the agent representing her husband, and therefore the addition of a Chomesh is absolutely necessary. That's the Tanakhama of this Braisa. Now we start a new Sugya within the Sugya of Eved Knani. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Eved Knani, Yotze Bishain Viayin. If the Adon removes, he smacks the Eved and removes a tooth, or he blinds him in an eye, the Roshe Evarim Shenim Chosim, or he removes any limb of the body that will not be replaced, in other words, through the process of refuah, of curing, that limb is gone. So if the Rav was guilty of such a Chavala, and he took out the tooth, or the eye of the Eved, or any of the 24 Roshei Evarim Sheyesh Ba'adam, which is a Mishnah in the Goyim, is Ha'Eved Mishtachrer Bekach Lecherus, the Eved goes out free. The Gemara says, let's look at the Psukim and see if we can find the source for these three categories. Bishle Meshein V'ayin K'sivi, it's explicit in the Torah. In Parashas Mishpatim K'chi Yake Ish Es Ein Avdo Es Ein Amoso V'shich Asa L'chavshi Shachenu Tachas Ein Ovim Shein Avdo Es Ein Amoso Yapi L'chavshi Shachenu Tachas Shino. The Torah is outspoken that through either Ayin or Shein, she in the case of an Amo, or he in the case of an Eved, go out L'cherus. Ela Rosh Evarim, but how do you know to expand it beyond these cases, these specific limited cases of Shein V'ayin, Minol, and how do we know this? And the Gemara is going to say, well, let's operate with the principle of Binyan Av, Duvya D'Shein V'ayin, Ma Shein V'ayin Mumim, Sheba Golui, V'enom Chosim, these are external wounds, and once having been wounded through this Chabola, Enam Chosrim, they don't replace itself, they don't regenerate, is Afkol Mumin Shebegoli V'Enam Chosrim, and that gives us the 24 categories of Rosh Evarim, which the common denominator of all 24 is, these are Mumin Shebegoli V'Enam Chosrim, there's no way the body could regenerate itself. So the Gemara is not happy about that. V'eimah nehevi shein v'ayin k'shnei k'suvim b'om k'echad. Kol shnei k'suvim b'om k'echad. Eimah lamdin. We have a principle that when the Torah repeats itself unnecessarily in cases A and B, even though we could have derived B from A, then the Torah is telling you it's a closed book. It's limited to these two cases here too. If the Torah just wanted to tell us the din of Rosh Evarim, all the Torah had to do was tell us one of these two Evarim, either Shein or Ayin, and we would have derived all the other Evarim. Why did the Torah have to write both Shein and Ayin? So that's already Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kiyachud V'Ein Malamdim. And if that be the case, then since there's no need to write both Shein V'Ayin, it becomes Ein Malamdim. We cannot derive the 24 Roshei Evarim. Sri Chalikmar says this is not a case of Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kiyachud, because we need both Shein V'ayin to eat Kos of Rachmanas Shein. Hava mina afilu Shein dechalav v'ran dafchav tal namid beis. Meaning, even in the case of a baby tooth, which is going to going to be replaced by the adult tooth. That's also called the shein, as far as hapolas hashein, and the onon, if he was chovel in this younger Eved Kanani, and the Eved Kanani lost one of his baby teeth, the Eved would go lecherus. Is therefore kosher rachmana ayin to teach us that it's got to be an irreversible loss of an Aver, meaning the Aver cannot be replaced by, will not be naturally replaced by another Aver, and that excludes the baby tooth. Fi kosher rachmana ayin hava mina, I would have excluded shein. Why? Ma ayin shenivra imo, a person is born into this world with an ayin. Af kol, any other Aver that has this special status, a special chashivus, shenivra imo, aval shein, shein is not born with the child, the child's not born with the teeth, and therefore tzricha, I need both shein v'ayin. If I need both shein v'ayin, then I have a right to create a binyan av from shein v'ayin to include any other cases of limbs that are similar to shein v'ayin. Gemara is still not happy. V'ema kiyake. The Torah opens up this parsha of Shein V'ayin with a general statement of kiyake. Let's read the pasuk again. Kiyake ish es ein avdo es ein amos v'shichasa lachavshi yishalchena. So we have what's called a klal and a prat, because the words v'chiyake are a klal, a general, all-inclusive rule. Then shein v'ayin is a prat that specifies this haka of shein v'ayin. And one of the midos, HaTorah addresses them, is klal u'prat, ein b'klal, elamashe b'frat. Which means that we have no ability to be marbe more than the prat. Shein v'ayin in, midachridi lo. That means if the Adon hits the Eved in such a way that he takes out one of his Evarim, other than Shein V'ayin, the Eved does not go L'cheirus. That's called Klal Prat. So the Gemara answers, no. Because at the end of this pasuk it says, L'chofshi Yishalchana. And the mashmos of this Lashon is that in all cases, in all situations, the Eved goes L'chofshi. And that's a ribui. And therefore we have another klal, chazar v'kolal. So we started with a klal, we went to a prat, and now we have another klal. Is now we can apply a different principle of a Torah midrash, and that is klal u'prat u'klal, is i'atadon el ke'en ha'prat. In such a case where you started with a klal, you ended with a klal, in the middle you were sandwiched in a prat, then you look at the prat, you try to identify what are the main characteristics of that prat, and then anything similar to that prat is included. Whereas if it was only a klal of prat without the extra klal at the end, you would be limited to the prat. Now we can expand it to anything even beyond the prat, as long as it's ke'ena prat, it's similar. So now we have to analyze these two cases of shein v'ayin. What are their identifying characteristics? Ma prat, the cases of shein, and ayin meforosh, which are known. What does that mean, mefarash? Mefarash means we know that it's a mum shebagolui. We can identify in both cases of shein v'ayin a mum shebagolui. It's an external and obvious wound. Obvious means recognizable from the outside. The enam chozrin, meaning that these are irreversible losses. They cannot be replaced. Af kol mum shebagolui v'enam chozrin. So too, any mum, any damage that's done to any avarim in the body that's outside, external, and it doesn't have the ability to regenerate itself, that's similar to the prat, and that's included in the din of Yitzhiya L'chafshi of the 24 Roshei Avarim. The Gemara again is not happy with this, because what are you doing? You're being marbeh that an eved is Yotzi B'shar Roshei Avarim from a klal prat to klal. The Gemara says, no, we should darshan it a little differently. Ima haprat meforosh mumim shebegolui. It's true that there are two characteristics that we defined in the prat of shein v'ayin, namely, that it's golui. Number two, it is Eino Chozer, but there's also a third identifying characteristic of Shein V'ayin, and that is Ubatel Mimalachto, that after these limbs were removed from the body, the person, the victim, I should say, cannot see anymore, he cannot eat anymore, and in that case, it's called Batel Mimalachto. Af Kol, so to all Mumin, that we want to include from this Klal Pradu Klal, that the Eved goes out L'Cheirus, it has to have these three qualities. It's got to be Mumin Shebegolui, it's got to be Eino Chose, that we knew before, but now we have a third quality, a third condition, it's got to be Ubatel Mimalachto, that there was a certain function that particular Eiver was able to accomplish, and now that function is gone. If that be the case, Allah Matanya, one of the examples that we wanted to think about, because it's a Mum Shebegolui, and it's Eino Chozrin, is the case of Tolash Bezikno Dildel Boetzem. Udildel Boetzem. We'll talk about this case in just a second. And the halacha is, according to the Braisa, Eved Yotze Ben Lecherus. And what we're going to see is that we're missing the condition of Batel Mimalachto. So the case is Tolash Bezikno. The Adon actually ripped out the beard of the Eved, Rachmana Litzlan, and as a result, the Etzem, the nerves, you know, below the surface of the skin, became completely dysfunctional, and basically, there's no way that you can bring back to life that etzem, and therefore the Braisa says it's Eved Yotze Ben Lecherus, meaning that's all you need. The condition that has to be met for, and the similarity to Shein V'Regel, is that it is a case of Eino Misrape. It's Eino Chozer. But on the other hand, the etzem itself, even before it was destroyed, doesn't accomplish anything. There's no bittul malach as a result of, shall we say, removing the functionality of this etzem. So when he rips out the beard, and he's not causing a bittul malach situation, even though, again, the other conditions are met. It's a mum shebegolui, it's Eino Chozer, but it's not completely similar to the case, to the cases of Shein V'Ayin. So the Gemara answers that we're not darshaning a klal pratu klal, but rather what's called a riba mi'et v'riba. And in such a case, we're only mi'et one thing. So where's the ribui, mi'ut, and ribui? And the answer is at the end of the pasuk, it says La Chofshi Shalchena, and that's the ribui. So we have now a ribui. So we started with the ribui of Kiyake, then we had the miut of Shein V'Ayin. Now we have another ribui of La Chofshi Yishalchena, and this allows us to expand the case of Shein, of the situation of Hapala Shein V'Ayin, to include all Eifarim except for one, and what we're going to exclude is something that's Eino, that is Sofa Lachs, or it doesn't have the quality of Eino Chozer Liolom. We spoke about baby teeth. Now we're going to have another case right now coming around the bend of something that through Ripui will replace itself. But we're not going to exclude a case of Eivarim which is Eino Batel Mimalachto. And therefore, in the case where he removes the etzem, when he rips out his beard hairs, that will be Yitzia Barash Eivarim. The Gemara asks, V'iri Buyehu, if you're operating with this ribui of Lachavshi Yishalchena, and you're willing to broaden your scope, then Afilu Hiko Al Yodavit Samtza, even in the case where he hit him in the hand, and the hand was dried up. But sofa lachzar, he'll be healthy again. Nami, we should also consider that to be a yitzia barashe a varim, and the eved should go free. Alama Tanya, why do we learn in the Brisi Koa Yodavit Samsov Sofa Lachzar? Ain eved yotzi bolacherus? And the Gemara answers, and this is what we anticipated before, in Cain, if you're including all the Mumim, is Shane V'yayin Maya Hanile, meaning, why is the Eved going out free with Shane V'yayin? He should go out with every Mum. So why did the Torah have to mention these two Evarim? Obviously the Torah is saying that there's got to be some element, at least one characteristic that we derive from Shein V'Ayin, and the lack thereof, if it's not similar to Shein V'Ayin, is not Yotzi L'Cherus, and that is, it's got to be a Mum Shebegoli Shein Ochozer, as opposed to this case of Tzomtzo Yado, where it's a Mum HaChozer. Now the Gemara goes back to the case of Hapolas Roshe Vom Ton Rabbanon Bekulon, in all these three categories, whether it's Shein V'Yayin or even Roshe Varim, that were removed by the Adon, Eved Yotzeven L'Cherus V'Tzorach Get Shichur. Here we have Machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama here in this Brisa claims that even after the din of Yitzia L'Cherus, nevertheless, the Eved has to receive a Get Shichur from his Adon. And offhand, this Gemara makes no sense. Why would he need a Get Shichur if he is Yotze L'Cherus? And the answer is that there are two dimensions to Eved Knani. There's the Kinyan Momen, and the Yitzia be Rosh Evarim is Mafkir the Kinyan Momen, but there's still at the same time another dimension to the Eved Knani, and that is the halacha of Isur. In other words, the Isur to Abbas Yisrael, by virtue of the fact that he is not yet a full ger, can only be removed through a Get Shichur. The Get Shichur is akna in Isurim, which means that the Eved basically could become, through his gerus, a full-fledged Yisrael. What prevents him? What's the barrier that blocks it from developing a full-fledged status, a full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael? The answer is the Avdus. When you remove the Avdus, is Memela, the Eved becomes Mutar Mibas Yisrael, his Gerus completes itself. And he's Mutar Lava B'Kol. But for that you need a Get Shichur. In other words, the fact that he's Yotze automatically without a Get Shichur, okay, that's only as far as the aspect of Mammon is concerned, the Kinyan Mammon. But as far as removing the Avdus in such a way that now the Geirus could complete itself, that has to be removed through the active Get Shichur. It's like the Kinyan Iser of an Ishal of Baal has to be removed through a Get. Here too, the element of Geirus and its completion could only be achieved by giving a Get Shichur, and that has the power to remove any vestige of Kinyan on the Eved, such that now the Eved can become a full-fledged Yisrael Gomor, and he can marry a Bas Yisrael. That's according to Reb Shimon. Rabbi Meir Omer, Eino Tzarech, he doesn't need a Get Shichur, meaning once through Yitzias Be'ev Eivarim, Be'Rosh Eivarim, there's Afkaz of Mammon, that Hafkas Mammon is enough to remove the shame Eved Knani, and now the Geirus is complete, and there's no need for Get Shichur. So the fundamental machlokas here between the Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir, is whether or not the two dimensions of Eved Knani and Hafkas Avdus Knani go together as one unit, as one package. Rabbi Meir is the easier shita because he's saying that if there's a din of Yitzia, L'Cherus, L'Shichur through Rosh Evarim, then automatically he can marry Bas Yisrael because you remove the Avdus. If there's no Kinyan Avdus, Memela, the Geirus completes itself, it reaches its fruition, he can marry Bas Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon says no. There's a fundamental difference between the Adon being Motzi, the Eved, or the Eved going out. In the case of Rosh Evarim, the Eved goes out. But the Baal is not, the Adon is not actively involved in removing the Shem Eved, and therefore, according to Rav Shimon's logic, although the Shem Eved b'toras chefetz shel mamon is removed through Yetziah b'rosh eivarim, but that shichur is not enough to be an active shichur on the part of the Baal, which is necessary to remove the kinyan, kinyan iser, if you want to call it, the Shem iser Eved Knani, which prevents the geirus from being complete. It's only after you have the second dimension, you've removed even that vestige of avdus through the get shichur. That's when the eved becomes a ger gomer ki Yisrael, and he can marry a bas Yisrael. The Brisa continues and tells us that this machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Meir is identical with the machlokas Tanoim Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tzorich, meaning the get shichur has to be delivered to the Eved. It's not enough that the Eved goes out b'rosh evarim. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Eino Tzorich. Rabbi Tarfon holds exactly what we saw in Rabbi Meir, whereas Rabbi Shimon is exactly what we see in Rabbi Eliezer, that there is a necessity for a get shichur. Rabbi Akiva omet tzarech, Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Eliezer, who in turn agrees to the first Tana, namely Rav Shimon in that brisa, and we need a get shichur. The Gemara now quotes the end of the brisa. The end of the brisa tells us about all the chachamim who were there during this great debate, and Hamachriim Lifnei Chachamim Omrim, those who tried to get the Chachamim to be Machriya, to come to some conclusion, influenced them to respond Nirim Divrei Rabbi Tarfon V'Shein V'Ayin, and I'm skipping a little bit for a split second, V'Nirim Divrei Rabbi Akiva V'Shar Eivarim. In other words, there are two dinim over here, according to the Machriim. We're going to accept Rabbi Tarfon's premise that the Eved goes out completely free, b'shein v'ayin. That's where v'hatorah zichzalo, the Torah says explicitly that he goes out. And if he goes out, he's allowed to marry Bas Yisrael, meaning his gerus is complete. V'dimri Rabbi Akiva, but on the other hand, in the case of Shari Varim, it's not explicit in the Torah that he goes out l'cherus knas chachamim hu. The Gemara is not going to be happy with this, but at this point in the disjuncture in the development of the sugi, the Gemara assumes that in the case of Shari Varim, the Eved goes out not through a doraisa halach, but rather as a knas midivrei chachamim. The Gemara says, "What do you mean knasu? Cry kadarshinan." We derive from sukim that the Eved is Yotzei B'Roshei Eivarim. You know, we had the Klal, Prado Klal, etc., etc. So how can you tell me that the din, that the Eved goes out free, in the case of Roshei Eivarim, is only a Knas D'Rabbanon? Ella, the Gemara says, Ho'il Midrash Chachamim Hu. There are certain things in the Torah that have a high profile status because they're explicit in the Torah. Lehejah. But then there's something that you derive through a Midrash Chachamim, and in this case, a ribui miud of ribui, and that teaches us that the Eved goes out l'cheres b'roshei eivar, but since it's not written in the Torah explicitly, therefore it doesn't have the same power of shichrur as what we would call a shichrur gamur, a complete total shichrur that removes any vestige of the shame Eved Knani. But here, in the case of roshei eivarim, since it's not explicit in the pasuk, but rather it's derived from a midah shatorah addressed by him, in this case, ribui, miyud for ribui. In that case, the yitziah b'rosh eivarim is only a partial yitziah, and the get must be delivered. The Eved desperately needs a get shichur in order to complete the process of yotzei l'cheres. The Gemara asks, "My taima, the Rabbi Shimon? Why would Rabbi Shimon insist that the Eved does not need to receive a get shichur? Yolif shiluach mi isha. All the dinim of Eved Knani are derived from a hekesh to isha. And where's this shiluach? Shiluach, we'll call it gzeirah shava. It says in the pasuk, "In b'mishpatim lachavshi shalchena." So there we see shiluach in isha in kiteitze. With regard to get, it says v'shilcha mi beso ma isha b'shtar af eved nami b'shtar. In other words, when he's going out with Shein V'ayin or Rosh Varim, he still needs a Shtar Shichrur in order to clinch and complete his Cherus and make him into a full-fledged Ben Yisrael. Rabbi Meir, Rabbeinu holds in the case of Yitziah B'Shein V'ayin or Rosh Varim, he doesn't need to get Shichrur. What do we do with this Gzeirah Shava Shiluach Shiluach? I Kosav Chofshi Levasov. If the Torah would have said, Yishalchena chofshi la chofshi kiraka amrit, then you would have been correct that this pasuk should be interpreted that if the Adon sends him out, he's got to give him a shtar. Why? Because it says yishalchenu, and we've seen already shiluach with regard to an isha, and there a shtar is absolutely necessary. But hashta the kosav. What did the Torah say? It didn't say Yishalchenu lachavshi. It says lachavshi Yishalchena. So the word chavshi comes first, before the shiluach. Is havile chavshi meikara? We assume that he's chavshi from the beginning. What does that mean from the beginning? Even without the delivery of a shtar into his hands. So we don't learn from shiluach that he needs to get shichra like an isha. That's the Shita Rav Meir against Rabbi Shimon. But rather, the Shiluach and Eved Ivri that's mentioned is only after Nisparsha Yitzias Lachavshi. It means he's completely free, even as far as the Kinyan Iser is concerned, with the Hotzas Echad Meivarim. And that indeed is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Tana Rabbanan, other dinim about Hapolas, Shein V'ayin, Hiko al Eino V'sima, if there was a direct hit to the eye, which caused blindness, or al Ozno, a direct hit to the ear, which caused Kherisha called deafness, Eved Yotzim and L'Kherus. However, there is a principle called Grama. Sometimes there's not a direct act of damaging, but an indirect. The Gemara gives here the case, the Brisa gives the case, of Hika Bakosel, he bangs up against a wall and it's Keneged Eino, and the Eved is so shocked by the sudden noise of the Haka ala Kosel that he loses his eyesight Eino Roa. Or Keneged Ozno, he bangs on the wall and creates a loud noise, which is very closely approximate to the Ozen. And as a result, Eino Shoma. Even though as a result of this Hakob Kosel, he ever became blind or became deaf. Eino ever Yotze Vahen Lacherus. That's not called a direct hit. It's not a Hapola of Eino Vishino. It's only a Grama. And in such a case, the Eved does not go Lacherus. Omar Rav Shomin L'Ravashi. He's not so happy about this. L'meimra, are you telling me the Kol Olav Klumu? It's not considered a direct hezek, since it goes through a coal, and as you generate a noise, and as a result of the noise, there's a hezek. Vatani Rami Bar Yechezko, we have a brisa, Tarnagol, Shehoshit Rosho Liaver, Klischuchas Vitokabo, Ushvaro, Mishali Nezek Sholem. If the chicken put its head inside the airspace of a glass, and it made a very, very loud noise, you know, a cockle-doodle-doo, and as a result of that noise, it broke the glass and shattered it. The law is that the owner of the tarnagol has to pay for the nezek. You see that an animal that was mazik with a coal, that's considered hezek. And why shouldn't the same thing apply here in the case of Hapolas Shein V'Evan? Now, this brisa is a brisa that reflects the sheet of Sumchus. that holds that you pay Nezek Shalem. That's a sugim bava kamadaf yutes. But be that as it may, we see that creating a kol is considered a maisa hezek. The Omer of Yosef, Amri Bey Rav, Sus Shetzonaf, Chamor Shegar. These are other cases of animals that made noises. The Shavru Kalim, and as a result of the loud noise, Kalim were broken. The Tocha Bayis, Meshalbim Chatzin Ezek. Okay, that's the case of Tzroros. It's called Chatzin Ezek. But be that as it may, you definitely see that there is such a thing as a hezek by creating a kol. The Gemara now wants to be mechalik between a person who is harmed by a kol and utensils that were ruined by a kol. Amalei, Saravashi, gave an answer to Rav Shemen, and he said, Shiny Adam, an Adam who is damaged, harmed by a kol, is different. The cave under Bardasu, Iu Mivas Nafshe. The human being on the receiving end, as the victim, somehow participates with some measure, again, a certain limited measure of participation. He himself, like, because he was shocked, he wasn't, you know, this noise, all of a sudden, he caught him by surprise. That itself, he pays attention to the noise, because again, it's a loud noise. He's sort of like mazik his own ear, his own power of hearing, or his own eyesight. Masha Enkin, in the case of Kalim, of course, have no participation. They're purely passive inanimate objects. And therefore, the person who created the kol, he's considered totally the gorim. There's no sense that the nizak, that the harmed victim, was in any shape or form a participant. And now the Gemara gives a proof to this distinction. Kidasanya, we learned in a braisa, mavis, somebody scares his friend, eschavero. And as a result, he harms his friend. Potami dine adam. Bezdin cannot be mechayev the mazik to pay compensation, but chayev the din shamayim. In other words, it's a kind of a groma. Ketzad toka bi ozno v'chersho. He blew a loud noise into the ear of his friend, and as a result, his friend became deaf. Potter, he doesn't have to pay damages. That's not considered anything more than a gram nezek. But achazohu, if he grabs on to his body, you know, the mazik holds down his body, the body of his victim, v'toka biozno v'chersho chayev, because that's considered a direct hezek, a hezek biyadayim. Ton rabbanon, he ko al eino v'chahasa al shino v'nodida. Now, the question is, what happens where the hakah did not do a total final job? It only weakened the Eved Kanani. So now he cannot see. His eyesight is dimmed, but he can see slightly. And I was thinking, in our day, with all the advances in ophthalmology, sometimes they can, you know, bring back a person's sight even when he's legally blind, through various types of surgery, etc. While Shino Vinidla, he weakened his tooth, but it didn't fall out. Im Yochalish Talishman Akshav, if he still sees through his eye, or he can eat with his tooth, is Ein Evid Yotzei L'Chesvim Lav. But if, on the other hand, he's not able to really see through the eye, again, I don't know what minimum sight would be here in this case, he cannot eat with his tooth, then Eved Yotzei ben Lecheres Tanya, either we have a different brisa. Harei shahoisa eino kehuya. The eye of the Eved became kehuya. Kehuya means that he can't see with his eye properly. It's a very blurry kind of vision. And this was even before the Adon hit him. V'sima. And now the hakah of the Adon brought the Eved from point A to point B, meaning from Kahuya, where he had some sort of blurry vision, to a point to which he sees nothing at all. Or a case of Shino Neduda V'Pilo. What happens if the Eved already had a loose tooth, but the Adon removed the tooth? Im Yachalish Tamish Bahen Kvar. In other words, what was the situation before the Adon gave him the smack? Was it that he could use the Shane or a 9? It was still functional. is then Eved Yotze Memecheres. Now it became dysfunctional, and that's called a Hakah and Hapala. The Eved goes to Mecheres being Lav. But if even before the Adon hit him, already at that point, the Eved had a dysfunctional eye or dysfunctional tooth, is then the Adon did not take the Eved from stage A where he was functioning to stage B, but it was already dysfunctional before you hit the Eved. Is Ein Eved Yotze Bahen Becherus Utsrichad? I need both prices, and they both seem to be telling me the same thing. Iashmin and Hach Price Hach Kamais. If I only had the first Brisa, what would I have thought? When the Adon is Machaha, the Ayin, is I would have thought that the Eved goes L'cheres Mishum Demei Kara Nahora Bari Vahashta Nahora Kechisha. The Eved had perfectly good eyesight before the Hakka. Now he sees with a very weak kind of sight. And therefore, in that case, as the first Brisa says, Kasa is Yotze L'cheres Amol Hacha. But here, in the second Brisa, where he blinds him, but he may kara nami nahor kisha from the get-go, even before the akah of the Adon, the Eved could hardly see. Emalai might think that he doesn't go out with such akah. The Ashmin and Hoth, we had the second Brisa, is then we would have said mishum the simya legamri, he caused total blindness. I will hasam, but there lo simya legamri, he only made it into a keheya where he sees with a great deal of blurriness. Amalo, he would not go out. Lecheres tzrich, we need both cases. And here we're on daf chav dalid amud beis. Towards the bottom of the amud, Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa. Hareishaya rabo rofe. What if the Eved was told, he was instructed by the Adon, Eved instructed the Adon, who was a Rofe, to try to administer medical help to the Eved, and as part of the refuah of this ophthalmologist, he had to put a certain sam on the eye, the sima, and even though the Eved had instructed the Adon to help him and heal him, the opposite happened, or lachta lo shino, or the Eved told his Adon to clean out his tooth and to remove some sort of a filling, the pilon, as a result of the operation, the Adon, the dentist Adon, removed the shein of the Eved. A third case is Sichek bi Adon. The Eved was playing around, joking around with the master, Veherim Olav Vivakosha Zu, Viyotzel Cherus. This phrase in the Brisa of the Tanakhama says Sichek bi Adon. It sounds like the Eved was hoping that this would happen. He almost like set it up, but whatever it is, he successfully achieved his cheres. Why? Because even though the Adon was trying to administer medical help to cure him, he had no intention to blind him or remove his tooth. Nevertheless, if that happened, he goes lecheres. That's according to the Tanakhama. There's no condition that the Yitzia is conditional on a kavana, a negative, or shall we say a deliberate intent. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, no. The Torah says, and I'll read the whole pasuk, V'chiyake ishes ein avdos ein amaso v'shichasa. Is then l'chav shishalchen et avots v'shichasa? Ad she is kaving l'shachasa. In the case where the other was a rofe, and as a result of a shkaga, he did some sort of, we'll call it medical malpractice, but in any event, his intention was good, was correct. The Eved in this case does not go lecheres. That's not called apola, because the Torah calls it shichasa. Shichasa implies a definite malicious intent. The Rabbanon, meaning the Tanakama is of this price, he holds high v'shichasa my avdu. What does he do with v'shichasa? Mi boilet chsanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Reisha Hoshit, yado lemei shifchasa. If let's say his shifcha was about to give birth and the Adon tried to pull out the fetus, v'sima ha'ubar shebimeyeha, and as a result, unintentionally, he caused blindness to the Uber, Rachman al-Islan, is Potur. And the din is, the Uber does not go L'Cherus. My timer, why is this so? The Omer Kra, V'shichasa, Chichavim L'Shachasa. So it means that the Tanakama will use the word V'shichasa to exclude this case of the Ubar, that since the Adon in this case had no intention, no deliberate intention to blind the eye of this fetus, therefore there's no Yotzei L'Cherus. But in the case where he had Kavana Likchol Asayin and he was Mesameh the Ayin, that is enough Kavana such that the Eved should go L'Cherus. In other words, he put this sam on top of the eye in order to create a kind of a refuah, but nevertheless, inadvertently, he blinded the Eved. In such a case, he does go l'cheres. So the word v'shichasa is only coming to exclude a case where he wasn't even involved in any sort of deliberate action or kumvase, which would set up the sima, but just the hand slipped or whatever it is, then the Eved, the Ubar, remains an Eved. The Idach, and what is Reb Shimon Gamliel, who argues with the Tanakama, and he learns Veshichos that you need Kavana. How does he know that the Ubar does not go L'Cherus? So there are two categories, two cases in which the Eved does not go L'Cherus, even though the Adon removed his eye, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. One category is a case where he had kavana for the ayin, but not la pila. And one is the case where he didn't have any kavana for the ayin at all. He was osek ba'ayin, and he had kavana la hashkis ayin, but he had kavana l'shem refuah. So there are two different cases here. Again, let's just go over the two cases to make it clear. One case is where the Adon was miscaving to the Ayin, but not La Pila. The other case is where he wasn't miscaving to the Ayin at all, but he was Osik Bola Rafua. And that's what the Gemara says over here, that Reb Shimon Gamliel has a double drush. He has V'shiches Shicha Sonafka. The Torah could have said V'shiches, and from that we would have learned the case where someone didn't have any kavana for the eye at all, and then you have the additional hey, the mapik hey v'shicha saw, and that's going to teach us the case where he had kavana for the eye, but he was a shogeg. He didn't want to remove the eye. He wanted to adarabba cure the eye. V'idach and the chachamim shiches shichas alo darish. They don't have the two drashos. They only have one drasha, and therefore they use that drasha for the case of the Eved, who will only go L'Cherus if the Adon has Kavana for the eye. And in this case, the Eved will go L'Cherus, even though the Kavana of the Adon was L'Tova. He was Rotze Likchol Eseno, and Shichasa, he knocked out the eye. All right, we'll stop here.